We're talking today at the 2014 Oklahoma No-Till Conference here in Norman, and talking today with Dr. Rick Haney, who's with the Ag Research Service based out of Temple, Texas. And Rick, you've done some research as it relates to no-till type farming versus conventional till, I think, in some cases. And you've been able to make a pretty good case that there's some real value when it comes to the healthiness of your soil when you go with some of these low-till, no-till type operations.
That's true. And one of the things that we've seen is that as folks start transitioning from a conventional till system to a no-till system, that we see changes in the soil biology, mainly the microbial activity, and some of the organic pools that are water extractable. So those are real neat little indicators that we see that you might get to see before you see it with your eyes, you know.
Now, as you think about, you know, the idea of trying to move in this direction, it's important that you keep some fairly close tabs on the condition of your soil and the fertility of your soil, right?
Yes, and we recommend sampling, you know, every year before you put out fertilizer, just like a traditional test. But we're going to look at some different things to try to help you understand your system and may or may not save you a little fertilizer depending on where your soil's at.
Tell us a little bit about what you're actually looking for.
Well, we're looking for increased microbial activity over last year, for example. If you took a sample last year versus the upcoming year, if you've done something different, if you've tried no-till, or if you've tried a cover crop, or if you've changed your management, you know, we're going to try to pick up that management, how it's impacted the below-ground life that we're seeing.
As you make these measurements from year to year, can you see a difference when people add in no-till, add in cover crops?
We can, and we have 200 acres there at the research farm that we've been tracking since 07, and we started out, we sample in the same place every year, so it's, you know, fairly consistent, and we end up with something called a soil health score, which is something that combines a bunch of different measurements, so it's fairly robust, and that score was 5 when we started, and now it's 8, and that's a pretty significant change. And we haven't lost any yield response either. So we're moving forward and getting our fertility back in our soil, some of the natural fertility. Because we're a big fan of let's get as much out of Mother Nature as we can and then supplement with the rest instead of just put it all out there and ignore Mother Nature.
You allude to this soil health score. Tell me a little bit more about, you know, how a farmer might look at that as he maybe approaches some of these systems.
Well, the soil health score is designed to show you where you're at right now, and what we encourage guys to do is if you've been no tilling for a while and you've got some conventional fields of your neighbors or yours that's next to you, take a sample from each one, and then we'll look at them and we can see the differences. And it's like, well, here's why you might want to do this, here's why you might want to do that. You know, it starts to incorporate things, and we have guys send us samples blind and we don't know if they're no till or conventional till or what they are, but we can usually kind of pick them out, especially pastures just jump out with this new type of testing that traditional tests just won't pick up.
Is this really available on a fairly wide scale? You know, can a rancher, farmer be able to get somebody to do this for them?
Yeah, there's 3 private labs in the country right now, Ward Labs in Kearney, Nebraska, and Brookside Labs in Ohio. And then there's Woods End Lab up in Maine that are all offering this. And we have some others interested in it. But it's not something that you do fast. It's something it takes a little longer to do, and it costs a little bit more. But you know, we're looking at a very complex system and trying to simplify it as best we can to teach us something. It's a lot about education, actually.
Comes down. You mentioned education. How do we get farmers to seriously look at this and embrace it?
Well, I think if they can get a hold of some of these tests somewhere or try some different tests or something, you know, different than we've been doing. Because the reality is, even though, you know, you just heard in there that they're saying, oh, well, we've calibrated our data over 40 years. Well, but you haven't ever seen any of these things. And so, you know, maybe we need to look ahead a little bit and try to incorporate some of this stuff forward to help us be more precise with what we're doing. Because we're not against fertilizer. We're against having, you know, too much fertilizer. We want to put on the right amount. And I'm just not sure we can get there by only measuring one form of nitrogen, for example.
As we do these things and we see that, say, a soil health score go up, is that is that usually an indicator that we're probably going to be able to maybe hang on to our moisture a little bit better? You know, we're obviously always worried about when we get an inch of rain, we want to make sure that it stays in the soil as long as possible.
That's true, and that's one of the things that we're hoping to look at now. But understand, we've only been doing this. I've been doing this for a number of years, but we haven't really been offering this nationwide for the last 3 years. So we're still getting in data. We're still trying to understand what we're looking at. And you know, it's not the end of it. This is the tip of the iceberg, not the end.
You see, you know, ARS, maybe Natural Resource Conservation Service, you see something, is this something that they're going to be trying to promote and encourage folks to be able to have a little bit, maybe, you know, easier access to these type of, these, you know, these tests?
Well, maybe. I'm a scientist and not a politician, so I couldn't really speak to that. All I can tell you is that it's taken me, you know, roughly 20 years to get these tests developed and pulled together. And I kind of feel like we have the product now, and, you know, it's not up to me if everybody uses it or not. This is farmer-driven. The farmers are asking for these tests, not universities, not ARS, not this is kind of a grassroots movement, and I just happen to have a set of tests that seem to fit pretty well, and so they're the ones that are asking for this. This is not a top-down. This is a bottom-up movement, I think.
So one last question about the test. As far as for a conventionally tilled soil, what sort of score does it typically get versus some that is, you know, fully transitioned and is now no-till?
Well, and that's a good question, but that kind of depends on where you are, because soils in Iowa are different. You know, they're very healthy and very for example, a soil health score of 8 in Iowa would be probably pretty normal. Some of the guys that have been doing the no-tills and cover crop for a number of years, those numbers run around 12. Now, in Texas, we're seeing conventional till scores, you know, around 4 or 5 on a soil health score. No-till conventional and ours that have been 3 years now, you know, they're up there around 7, 7, 8, 7, 9, 8. So it does make a difference, but I'm not against conventional till. That's all I've ever done. But I'm starting to see the light with this no-till and this cover crop stuff.